Good. There it is. Good morning. Good to see y'all here this morning. All right, as we continue on through the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to try, you guys are just going to have to listen faster than normal, we're going to try to finish up with the Beatitudes this morning. So as you guys know, we're going to kind of just circle back for just a second. I want to read these again just in fullness and in completeness so we can hear them. You know, as we were singing this morning, Mark led the Battle Belongs to the Lord, and I was singing that, and I was like, you know, I don't even have to look at the book to sing that. Can anybody sing that song without looking at the book? Come on. Raise your hand if you think you can sing that without looking at the book. Isn't it fascinating? And that took me back to Blue Haven. And at Blue Haven, there's never a songbook. Right, guys? There's no songbook. Ever. And so when we meet for devos, morning devos, and we meet for evening worship, it's just this spontaneous, impromptu singing that just happens. That singing, someone will start a song over here, and then after that one's concluded, maybe someone over here will start a song, and it's just this beautiful array of singing. And nobody's got a book. And that made me think for a second this morning as I was sitting there as Mark led that first song. It made me think, how many songs have you committed to memory that you can just sing? And not even necessarily church songs. I mean, secular music. How many can you just sing? You know, I can sing a lot of church songs, but not a lot of any other kind of songs by memory. I make up my own words. Lana laughs at me. She's like, what'd you just say? I was like, oh, this. She goes, that's not what that song says. I'm like, well, I just make up my own words, right? But, man, if we could do that with Scripture, right? Commit it to memory like that, where it's just a part of who we are. What a beautiful thing that would be, wouldn't it? And so I say that because I challenged y'all at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount series. I challenged y'all to read this every week, right? I don't want you to raise your hand, all right? But I'm going to re-challenge you to be reading the Sermon on the Mount every week. And I would challenge you to memorize this Beatitude section. Because it is a path, it is a map, if you will, for not only who Jesus is, who he's calling us to be, how he's calling us to act, how he's calling us to behave, an ethics, if you will. He's calling us into that. He's also not just calling us into that, he is giving a roadmap for who he is. And as you see after the Sermon on the Mount concludes, this is who he represents himself to be through the rest of the book of Matthew. And so it's good for us to say, okay, this was so important, maybe we ought to commit this to memory. So when we are faced with challenges through life, we're reflecting back on his word to help move us forward. So with that being said, as Jesus gathers his disciples, they sit and he begins to teach, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And where we're going to start today is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so as you know, we've broken these down into three parts. Some people say there's only 8 Beatitudes. Others say there's 9 because that last one is kind of a little bit different. I'm going with the theme that there's 9 Beatitudes here, and we're going to talk about the last 3 this morning. The first is this, as I've kind of labeled these sections, the first 3 are kind of a recognition of who we are in relationship to Christ. The third is the transformation, and the fourth is the reaction. If we're going to recognize who we are, who we desire, who God desires us to be, there should be a process of transformation of who we are as a result of that recognition. And then once we're transformed, we should be doing something. We should be actively pursuing who God has transformed us to be. And so as we look at these last three, it's in the mode of reaction. It's doing. It's who likes action? This is your section if you're an action person. This is your section. And so he starts off by saying, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Interestingly enough, we all have a different idea of what peacemaker is, right? Anybody agree? Everybody makes peace different. And interestingly enough, when this was spoken, there's conflict. There's been conflict for 100 years. They're under Roman occupation. Rome has occupied their land. I can remember, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about when Lana and I and the boys went to Mexico fishing. And we decided Lana wanted to do something besides fishing. That's the struggle with having just boys, is all the trips have guy things, right? And so I said, hey, let's do the train. So there's the train that goes up into Copper Canyon. And so we decided that we'll take a break from our fishing and we're going to ride a train. We're going to get off in Bahia Chivo, Mexico, and take a tour of the canyons, if you will. So we get, the boys are fairly young. My uncle drops us off at the train station in Chapala, I believe. This train runs from Las Mochas to Chihuahua, Mexico. Drops us off. We get on the train. Hunter is the most fluent in Spanish out of the four of us, and he can say hola. So that's about it, right? So we get on this train, and I've got a picture of us on this train, and we're riding it while guards are walking down the aisle of the train with AK-47s. It kind of makes you uncomfortable a little bit, right? Imagine living right now on the Gaza Strip. Be a little uncomfortable. That's kind of what's going on when this is written. All right? Now, we have big bombs. We have high-power weaponry now. But it's kind of the same thing with less sophisticated arsenal. It's kind of the same thing of what's going on. There's no peace. All right? It's occupied by a foreign entity that is bringing down their law and subjecting everyone in it to their law. And so in the midst of this kind of conflict, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Think about that for a second. Because he's saying something in the midst of a scenario or a situation in life that's not real peaceable. And so in the Jewish community, we have four kind of groups. And in these four groups, they're going to approach this idea of peacemaking very differently. And so with that being said, we've got the Sadducees, right? Everybody kind of know. And so let's talk about them for just a second. I'm going to try and be fast. I hope y'all put the food on low downstairs. If not, I give you permission, ladies, that if you feel like at some point in time you need to go turn it down, go ahead. All right? Because we're going to try and get through this morning. The Sadducees are the elites. All right? They're the higher ups. They're the wealthy. They probably still own land, even in the midst of this foreign occupation. And so they're... What's their idea of peace? Their idea of peace is to put a foot in each camp. I'm going to keep one foot in my people's camp, but I don't want something to happen to my stature in life, so I'm going to put my foot in a Roman camp too, because this is my peace. My peace is compromise. My peace is I'm going to have a foot in each pile so that I can find my peace. And in my peace, I don't want to give something up. I don't want to give up my wealth. I don't want to give up my livelihood. Therefore, I'm going to try to broker peace between the Romans and between us. And by doing that, is anybody, when you do that in your family, how's that work out? When there's compromise, who wins? No one, right? Oh, by the way, commercial break. Hunter said if I ever go off the rocker, he hopes y'all don't follow me in class this morning. And he said, because he's not going to follow me. I'm going to tell you, if Hunter ever goes off the rocker, don't follow him, because I'm not following him either. He who has the microphone last wins. So, oh man, he's got closing prayer. He just one-upped me right there. So the Sadducee, y'all with me now, right? They're brokering peace on their own behalf. And it's through this idea of compromise. And then you've got the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees are a lot alike, all right? They have a lot in common, but they have some differences as well. They're going to be boots on the ground, because what they want to do is they're going to say, hey, we're going to do this to the Romans, but we're also going to do this to our people, because we want you to be where we are. Peace is going to come through your ability to come to where I am. There's no compromise in that. And if there is compromise, it's probably compromise on the Roman side, because they want the ability to still function as they function. I have to look this other one up, because it's a word for some reason just does it. The Essenes is the third group within this Jewish. And these guys, this is a lot of y'all are going to relate. So what I'm hoping you do is you find yourself in one of these camps. The Essenes are going to be what we would quantify or classify as like a monk. They're going to say, listen, peace is avoidance. Does anybody like that one? Oh, there's some hands that need to be going up right now, but you're not. Peace is in, I'm going to remove myself from all conflict so I can live how I choose to live. I I'm going to pull away, I'm going to withdraw, I'm going to avoid, because I don't want anybody telling me how I should live, but I'm also have zero interest in trying to affect how you live. So I'm just going to avoid. And again, I want you to understand what Jesus says. Blessed are the peacemakers. All these different varieties of people are hearing that message. And they're translating it a lot of different ways. Because they're translating it on how they make peace. How do you make peace? Because Jesus says we all desire to make peace, but oftentimes we do it by very different strategies. Sometimes we're going to compromise. Sometimes we're just going to say, hey, you got to join me. Or sometimes we're just going to pull back and say, hey, you be you, I be me, and we'll be peaceable. And the fourth is the Zealots. Ah, the Zealots. This is Hunter, all right? So let's make war. Let's make war. Because I'm going to find peace through war. Because I am willing to die for my belief. You know, the Zealots were kind of born out of the Maccabee Revolt, which was during the Epiphanes. And he is slaughtering hogs on the altar and defiled the temple. And the Maccabee revolt was born out of that. They said, we're not going to do that. And so they rise up and they battle and they cleanse the temple. They win. And so peace was through strength. Have you heard that somewhere? Peace through strength. I've heard that somewhere recently. So it's through war. And so you have all of these people that have an idea of peace, but they approach peace from the perspective that they have. Anybody in here do that? And so Jesus says, be a peacemaker. And they're hearing, I'm a peacemaker because I do it this way. I'm a peacemaker because I do it this way. But in the midst of all of that, there's no peace. There's no peace. You know, it's broken my heart over the last over the last year, watching Israel and Hamas fight and all the people caught in between that battle, because everybody's calling for a ceasefire, right? They're currently under a ceasefire. Ceasefire is not peace. A truce isn't peace. And sometimes we get confused by these ideas that a truce is peace. No. Peace is where people understand where everyone's coming from and choose to love in the midst of conflict. Peace is not the avoidance of something, which oftentimes that's how we camp. We camp in of avoiding things. That's not peace. Notice that Jesus puts a word, not just peace, he puts maker with it, which makes it an action verb, which means you're going to have to get dirty to be peaceable. Peace is found in the midst of conflict. If there's no conflict, there's probably not peace. And oftentimes we spend most of our life trying to avoid conflict. Is anybody, there's some customers, I'm getting old, there's some customers when I see them pull up, I walk out the back door. Why? Because my definition of peace, right, which is avoidance. Hunter would tell you avoiding something's never going to create peace. All it's just going to do is sustain or push back what inevitably will come. And so oftentimes we have this idea of what peace is, but it's really not at all what it is. And so I think there's going to come more definition of this as Jesus continues forward with the next one. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so here we have this word righteous that we heard it earlier in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And now we come back to this word of righteousness, but he adds a word that we don't like, that's uncomfortable. Does anybody in here like being persecuted? Oh, but we all are. But oftentimes we're persecuted not for the sake of righteousness, but for the sake of Kevin's sake. How many of y'all are persecuted as a result of who you have? I always heard it this way. What hill have you chosen to die on? As parents, you kind of figure that out a little bit, right? You draw a line with your kids. Say, here's the line. Don't cross it. You know, Atlanta and I early on as parents, and Hunter would say early on the whole time, but early on as parents, we had a lot of lines. And we went through a marriage class at Northside Church of Christ, and Dottie, last name? Let's go with Dottie. Dot. Greeny. Said, pick your battles. Well, at that point in time in our life, we picked every battle with our kids. Any of y'all ever pick every battle? And it just gets overwhelming, right? Where there's this constant strife and friction because every battle's worth it, right? And so he's saying, listen, blessed are those who are persecuted. That's backwards, isn't it? Persecuted? Really? For my sake. For my sake. So let me put it to you. Hunter did a great job in class this morning about identifying the differences at this point in time during the David and Goliath story of King David and who he was as a person at that point in time versus King Saul. And who, King Saul's living for King Saul's sake. David at the time is living for God's sake. And there's a difference in their perspective. There's a difference in who they are. There's a difference in how they view life. There's a difference for how they move into action. David moves directly into harm's way as a result of understanding who he was in God. Saul was unwilling to do that because he quit living for God years ago. And as a result, he's living for himself. And one of the things I know about when we live for ourselves is we become self. See, I'm fixing to make up a word, and I'm going to get teased later. Self-preservation. Let me put it in business terms. Y'all with me on business terms? I'm going to throw this out in business terms. When Mike Wolfert and I started our business in 2001,
It was scary.
All right? It was scary. Lana and I were young and dumb. Had two little kids. We left everything we knew, a life of maybe not financial comfort, but security, to start something totally drastically new and different. My first day of work was 9/11/2001, which I'm starting a new business and the World Trade Centers are getting hammered. So it escalated the panic, if you will. But Mike and I function from a place we got nothing to lose. Let's go out there and just chase it. Be aggressive. Take chances. Does anybody understand that? I got nothing to lose. Let's go get it. And then all of a sudden, 2 or 3 years later, we wake up and we're like, we have something to lose. Now let's go protect it. Protect it. Now we're not taking chances. Now we're not trusting. We're doing this all the time. Right? And so oftentimes in life, that's exactly who we become. It's like we become a Christian and we give our life to Christ and we're like, woo, yes. And then a couple years later, we're like, oh, I don't know. There's a lot of people out there with darts. There's a lot of people out there that don't like me. There's a lot of people out there that don't like the message of the cross. What do I do now? And all of a sudden, we become an introvert, and we go into this self-preservation mode. And Jesus is saying, blessed if you're persecuted, not for being you, for representing me. There's a difference. There's a difference between the persecution that oftentimes we feel because we bring it on ourselves versus the persecution we might feel for representing the King. And Jesus is saying, blessed are you if this is why you're persecuted. If you're persecuted as a direct result of knowing who I am. And so let me back up. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who step into conflict to create and to challenge peace on behalf of the Messiah, on behalf of the King. Oftentimes we approach peace from a perspective of, I want peace. Oh. Think about that for a second. Think about that. Think about the Sadducees. Their ability to approach peace was, I want peace. And if I want peace, I will compromise part of my heritage to create peace for me. And when Jesus says, be a peacemaker, blessed, the good life belongs to those who make peace. Those are the people that step into conflict with the message of a Messiah, with the message of Christ that is going to offer real peace. Because see, peace is another one of those words that's a spiritual word. Humans have a tendency to try to think we can create. It's my favorite joke. Nah, it's probably not my favorite, but it's one of my favorite. Right? Where God and this guy get square off, and this guy tells God, I can make anything that you can make. And this guy says, God says, okay, go ahead, you go first. He reaches down and grabs a handful of dirt, and God says, what are you doing? He said, I'm fixing to create something. He said, put the dirt down, I made that. That's the idea, right? That's the exact idea. And so many times in life, we go to trying to manufacture things that God says, you can't manufacture that. You guys have heard me say this before. We cannot manufacture fellowship. Say, what? We got a fellowship hall. Fellowship's a gathering of people. We can manufacture that. Not pure fellowship as God intended. Because pure fellowship, check this out, it's kind of cool. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. True and perfect fellowship has already been created. And it was created by God. It was between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's perfect fellowship. Perfect harmony. And we've been invited into that fellowship. And so when man goes to creating fellowship, we make a mess of it. Because oftentimes we're not looking for fellowship, we're looking for similarity. I just need you to be like me and think like me. If you'll do that, we're good. That's not what God's interested in. He's saying, come into this place that I've already established. And so when he says, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who understand what peace looks like. It looks like me. Y'all see in that picture? Peace looks like me. Because peace that I'm after is between man and God. And there will be efforts of peace in our humanity. But don't let it be brokered away from true peace, which is between me and you. If you're going to be persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Not because you have a bone to pick with someone. The last beatitude. And then we get to talk about seasonings. Salt, and then light. Yeah, that'll be next week. Blessed are you when others revile you. Does that sound like fun? Persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So you can kind of see this theme. And what the theme is, if we're going to take what I've been talking about as far as recognition, transformation, and moving that into action, if we're going to understand that, I need you to understand that if you're going to recognize who you are in relationship with God, if you're going to allow God to transform who you are, because now we're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness, right? We're going to chase this God thing down. We're going to be with God. And so I've been transformed. If you're going to be transformed, there's going to be evidence of their transformation. What's that evidence? My evidence is I'm going to be a peacemaker for God's peace. I'm going to get persecuted for the sake of righteousness. There's going to be some nasty things said about me. People are going to revile. But he's saying, listen, it's all on my account. In John chapter 15, it says that Jesus promised to the disciples the world is going to hate you. But they're not hating you, they're hating me. If the world hates you, then you may just be a mean person. But if the world hates you because of who you represent, that's what Jesus is talking about here in this message. He's saying, listen, all these things, if they happen to you, blessed are you if they are on my account. If they're because you are becoming who I am. See, the whole message of the Sermon on the Mount, the whole message of the Beatitudes is this is the calling I am giving you of life. I want you to live this way. If you do live this way, it's not going to be fun. Hunter talked about that this morning. Comfort is overrated. We all desire it, we all seek it, but oftentimes it's overrated. Because in comfort comes complacency. In complacency, this message doesn't pertain. Because the message that Jesus has given is if you're going to live a transformed life, there's going to be some hate out there. But I need you to understand, it isn't against you. It's because you're representing the King. And they don't like what I stand for. They don't like what I stand for. So if you're going to get persecuted, reviled against, things said about you that you know are not true, blessed are you. The good life, asherai, the good life belongs to those that this happens to because you represent me. How cool is that? How cool is it that Jesus makes a promise to his followers in this moment? He's saying, man, you're going to inherit the kingdom. You're going to be called sons of God. The kingdom is yours. Y'all hear the blessings, right, that he talks about in these nine verses? Blessed are those. The good life belongs to those that do these things. Why? Because they're doing them out of a transformed relationship with me. Blessed are you who does this, and let this be your reward. It's a beautiful picture of what God. So I told you guys, did he really say that? Did he really call me to this extreme of a life? I'm here this morning telling you that though it sounds extreme, it's not if you're in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not extreme. It's just life. Y'all hear that? It's not extreme. It's extreme if you're viewing it from an outside perspective. I need you, like sometimes I think we get this all wet. I think we're still viewing some of God's scripture from out here instead of going, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's because Jesus rescued me from my own death. So why wouldn't I live this way? Why wouldn't I be a peacemaker? Why wouldn't I be okay with being persecuted for who he is? He rescued me. Why wouldn't I do those things? This shouldn't be extreme for a believer who's been transformed. This should be life as usual, shouldn't it? I think we need to quit viewing texts like this as extreme behavior, radical living. No, it's just Jesus living. It's who he's called us to be. Did he really say that? Yeah. Why? It's the expectation he has of a transformed life. Because if we're going to be transformed, we're going to be transformed into his image, not our own. If we're going to be making peace, we're going to be brokering peace with direct access to the kingdom. That's a pretty good place to come from. If all these things are going to be said about it, let it be said of who we represent. Because we are becoming who we represent. Blessed are you. This morning I want to challenge you. If you find yourself a professional peacemaker by compromise, by avoidance, by war, find your peacemaking through the cross. Jesus is calling his disciples in this early sermon. He's calling his disciples and challenging his disciples to live as he lives. He's challenging us today, giving us some assurances. You know, Hunter references it, since he did it, I will. The peace talks with Zelensky, right? That blew up this week between Trump and Vance and Zelensky. All Zelensky wants is some security agreements, right? Some promises of security, and then he'd assign the mineral deal. Jesus is giving you security agreements. Why aren't you signing up? He's saying the kingdom's yours. You can be called sons of God. You're going to inherit all that I have. Is that not security? He's saying, here's the blessing. Be okay with the life that I've called you to live, because look at the agreements I'm giving you. This is one-sided. I'm giving you everything and offering it up front. All you got to do is desire to follow me. What a beautiful thing. So this morning, if you haven't recognized that God offers security agreements and you're still waffling, understand he has called you to be transformed. And a transformed life looks different than the one you lived before. So this morning I want to challenge y'all. See, I wrapped that right up. It's not even 11. Nobody left to turn their meat down. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, if you just find yourself outside of this place and desire to be inside it so that you can understand the fullness that Jesus offers, I want to challenge you to come as Mark leads us in an invitation song.
Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply sinned with him, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I pray.